Turn to 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 and onwards. We have these past several Lord's days, as you will recollect, been preaching upon the devil, his personality, his names, his objectives, and lastly, his power to afflict the child of God. Let's read the verse as we have it here before we go to prayer. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. This warning should never be lost on the Christian. This warning should never be lost in any man or woman who's here today. Be sober, be vigilant, be alert. Be on the lookout. Be on your toes in this matter. There is an adversary. That adversary is the devil. He walketh about. He uses the world as his domain. He has one purpose in all this activity, seeking whom he may devour. So we're thinking particularly today of Satan's power. Last Lord's Day, we thought about his power to afflict the body. His power even in regard to death. But today we're going to look into other departments of his work as he sets about his great work of afflicting the child of God. He walketh about using the world as his domain, seeking whom he may make a prey. The devil will seek to make a prey of the child of God. He seeks the child of God, that he may destroy him. This is his objective. This is his aim. To destroy the child of God. To destroy the work of God, too. To destroy the Word of God, if he possibly could. Let's go to prayer and keep our Bibles open. We'll ask the help of the Lord today. Heavenly Father, we pray now for wisdom from heaven. We pray for wisdom to take the Word of God and apply it to our own hearts. Rather, Lord, take Thy Word Thyself and write it upon our hearts. Apply the Word unforgettably to our own souls. Will we pray for wisdom in the right understanding of Thy Holy Word? We pray for wisdom in utterance so that we may speak plainly and with unction upon the things of the Lord. Oh, especially, Lord, indicate to us the way of victory. We thank Thee that there is a defense for the Christian, that he can be kept under the wings of the Almighty. We praise Thee for the protection of the precious blood of the Lamb. And, oh God, grant today the infilling, even the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God with power for the preaching of Thy holy word. Speak Thyself to every single heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like you to turn with me now to 1 Thessalonians, the chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. Paul writes to the church of God at Thessalonica, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Let us think a little while today about Satan's power when it's brought into operation against the Christian. Satan has power to hinder the believer. Satan has power to hinder the work of God. Here we have Paul's desire to get up to Thessalonica to speak to the believers there. He longed for fellowship with these young Christians. He wanted to instruct them and to help them. But the devil got in, and again Paul tried. Once more Satan hindered, blocked his way so that he could not communicate with the people of God in Thessalonica. The devil kept the saints of God apart. When they should have been meeting together and gathering around the Word of God, the devil saw to it that that meeting was not possible. Now I don't doubt for a moment but that Satan works the same way today. Satan will use any means within his power to hinder God's people from meeting together as they ought. The devil is against the fellowship that's needed by the Christian. The devil will keep you away from the house of God. He will keep you from the fellowship of God's people. You see that the devil worked in that way here. And when Paul desired to get among God's people, the devil worked it in such a way that Paul could not get there. The devil kept the saints of God apart. Now, often, too, the devil gets in by driving a wedge among God's people. And if he can drive in a wedge between you and another believer and cause some offense to creep up, whereby hurt in spirit and injured in soul, you can no longer communicate with that child of God, then the devil has succeeded in driving a wedge in among the people of God to keep them apart, to isolate the Christian, so that he cannot enjoy the fellowship with God's people that he ought to have. Oh, Paul says, I would have joined the church at Thessalonica, but the devil kept me back. The devil kept me back. Satan hindered me. There may be some here today who have often thought about the things of the Lord. Often the Spirit of the Lord has shown you your need of Christ, but the devil has hindered you. I know many a night here as we have held out the gospel appeal, as we have called on men to come to the cross, God's Spirit has been working. Some have come to the Lord, but others have been obstructed. The devil has hindered them. We must pray that Satan's work will be brought to naught. There are some here today, and oftentimes you have been spoken to. Oftentimes you have thought about the things of the Lord. How often the Lord has touched your heart, yet you have permitted the devil and the world so to get in upon you that Satan has hindered you from coming to the Lord and joining the people of God. That's the devil's work. Satan has power to hinder the people of God. How does he hinder the Christian? Oh, in numerous ways, far more than we could mention this morning. But certainly he will hinder you by causing discouragement or getting you to be so distressed in spirit that you can no longer enjoy the Lord. Satan can hinder you by causing offense, as we have shown. Satan can hinder and does hinder the child of God. He hinders you in so many ways. If you turn to chapter 3 in this epistle, in verse 5, here is one strong instrument the devil uses to hinder the Christian, namely temptation. Chapter 3, verse 5, 1 Thessalonians. And Paul writes here, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." Of course the devil wants to destroy the Christian. He wants to destroy the Christian's influence and his testimony. He seeks to hinder the work of God every way he can. And he will purpose to hinder the Christian by throwing temptation in his pathway. The believer can be hindered then by temptation. The devil is the tempter. Let's see some Bible verses on temptation just for a moment. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What may we learn about temptation? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the first point that we would make on this matter is that temptation is common to man. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man." So it falls within our lot to suffer temptation. Remember that the Lord Jesus, who was without sin, fell into temptation. Satan waylaid him. He suffered the 40 days temptation in the wilderness. The Lord Jesus was opposed by the devil. The devil oftentimes sought to hinder our Lord. Now our Lord was without sin. We know that. By his very nature, begotten of the Father, the divine Son of God. He was born without the least hint of sin in his being. Yet, still, he was tempted. If that is so, how much more then with the Christian? We have our old sinful heart still with us. We have our old sinful nature there that we cannot get away from, at least this side of heaven. Now, if the Christian has his sinful heart, his own sinful nature, of course he may expect temptation. Temptation is described here as that affliction of the devil which is common to man. In other words, it's every man's experience. So then we all withstand temptation. We all suffer in this way. And Satan seeks to afflict the child of God by bringing him into temptation. I'm therefore speaking to those assembled today who have suffered in this way. I know that there are those present then who have been afflicted by the devil by means of temptation. The devil has tempted you to err. He has tempted you to do wrong. He has tempted you to fail the Lord. He has tempted you to ignore God's word. He has tempted you to forsake the house of prayer. He has tempted you to follow after the world. Of course, the devil has tempted you. He has sought to hinder your testimony, to afflict you, to destroy you as a Christian by throwing temptation in your way. These temptations are common to man. Sometimes when we're under affliction, we imagine that we are of all people alone upon the earth, that no one else is afflicted the way we are. There in 1 Peter 5 and verse 9, I don't want you to turn up the place just now, but I make the reference just the same. The apostle shows how these afflictions are accomplished in God's people, our brethren, throughout the world. So Peter was saying there when he wrote about the devil working, afflicting the child of God, don't think that you're in an extraordinary position. Don't think that some strange thing has happened to you whereby nobody else has ever been in the same position. No, these afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So right across the face of the earth, God's people are suffering in this way. Other Christians have walked then in the way you are walking. Other Christians have suffered the afflictions that you have suffered. Other Christians have been familiar with the temptation you are familiar with. I know that it is particularly discouraging to the Christian if he feels, I am in such a position. No other child of God has ever suffered in this way. No other child of God has ever carried this cross. Many a time the devil tries to make us think that way, but men and women, that's not true. Temptation is common to man. These afflictions of the devil are common to man. They are everywhere throughout the world. And you cannot say, I'm in such a situation, nobody else was ever in this place before. Of course, others of God's people have been exactly in the same position. Do you realize that? You cannot take a position in life. You cannot find yourself in any set of circumstances, but some other believer has gone the way before you. These things are common to man. Well, you may be tempted to follow the way of the world. You may be tempted to surrender to sin and to all the things of the world, the follies of the world. You may be tempted, as we read this morning in Ephesians, to hardness of heart or of spirit, or to anger of soul. These temptations are common to man, common to the child of God. Therefore, this word is relevant to each child of God in this meeting now. Let's read on the rest of the verse and make sure you have the reference there in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God, praise the Lord for that intervention. But God, do you realize you're in the battle? You're afflicted. You have an enemy. The devil's against you. You're in the midst of the fight. Oh, but believer, take heart from this. But God, hallelujah, you have a Savior. You have one who is your shepherd, neither slumbers nor sleeps. You have one who will never leave you, never forsake you. But God is faithful. The God who knows your heart. The God who knows your infirmity. The God who knows your weakness. Praise the Lord, God's faithful believer. And how does God show His faithfulness? Why, He shows His faithfulness by never deserting you, by never leaving you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is His promise. But the Lord shows His faithfulness in another way. Read on in this verse. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. There's another way in which God shows His faithfulness. By putting the rein on the devil. By tempering your afflictions in such a way, since the Lord knows your heart, listen, child of God, you will never be pressured above your own capacity to endure it. Isn't that encouraging? Oh, many a time we've been very near to breaking point. We have felt the weight of those afflictions. And we have cried out to the Lord. Sometimes we've even had to say, Lord, I am breaking. I am bending. This burden is too heavy for me. Just then the Lord steps in. Roll the weight of your anxiety upon Him, believer. Because God's faithful. Remember that. He's faithful to His promise. He's faithful to the child of God. Aye, to the child of His love. He's faithful. He keeps a rein on the devil. He'll temper your afflictions in such a way that the pressure you're enduring will never be beyond your capabilities. But there's something else in the faithfulness of God. And we read on in verse 13. But He will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to get rid of it. Does it say that? You must have the New English Bible or the New International Version or something else if it does. Now the verse here says plainly that you may be able to bear it. Now affliction is temporary. Temptation is temporary for the child of God. But there are seasons of affliction through which the believer must pass in God's providential care. And while the Lord brings us in this way of affliction, it may be that the thorn is going to stay, as it was with Paul. How earnestly Paul prayed, how Paul could pray. He cried, Lord, take this thorn in the flesh away from me. It's the instrument of the devil. Satan is afflicting me, and it is surely not God's will for me as a preacher of the gospel to be so fearfully afflicted of the devil. Lord, remove this thorn. Take away this fearful affliction, this heavy cross. Lord, lift the burden. God didn't lift the burden. He rather said, Paul, I'm going to put my shoulder onto that cross. I'm going to help you carry it. We're going to carry it together. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so the Lord didn't pull out the thorn. The Lord didn't chase away the devil at that time. But He said, Paul, I'll give you grace to stick the pace. And here in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, the Word of God teaches that God will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. Now, child of God, let me say this to you, young Christian. Let me counsel you in this way. Even though temptation may come, temptation to do wrong, remember God's faithful. The Lord's not going to leave you as a prey to the devil. Remember too that God's faithful in that He will keep a rein on the devil, and He will guarantee to keep the pressure of that temptation just beneath and beyond your capabilities in such a way that you can still endure the pace. He'll temper your afflictions. And remember, the Lord will always have a door of escape. I think that's vital. That's vital. The child of God should remember, no matter what the abuse of the devil is. There'll always be a door of escape so you can bear it. And it may be that the Lord will have you carry the cross for a while. It may be the Lord will have us suffer the weight of affliction for a time. But praise God, there's a door of escape, and we must ask the Lord to show us that door. We must ask the Lord to open up the door of escape. Child of God, when you're in the midst of the battle, remember this verse. Write it down on the fly leaf of your Bible if need be. Write it, eye on your heart. Don't forget to say, Lord, provide the door of escape. And even if the temptation doesn't depart, if the old problem's still going to stay on with you, not only today, but tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after, just you pray, Lord, open the door of escape that I may be able to bear it. Turn again to James chapter 1. We'll learn something else about temptation. Temptation is the tool used by the devil to exploit our weak points. Satan hinders the Christian. He hinders the Christian by throwing temptation in his pathway. Temptation is common to man, but there the faithfulness of God comes in to help the believer. We see that temptation is the tool of the devil, the instrument the devil uses to exploit all the weak points in the Christian's armor, or in his life, I should say. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted. You see the opening words? Every man is tempted. Temptation's common to man. Don't you think, child of God, you can reach such a state of perfection that you'll be above temptation? You never will. The devil is following on your tracks. You're susceptible to temptation. You're just a mortal. You're only a sinner saved by grace. You can be tempted as much as the next man. Every man is tempted. You see that? Temptation is the tool that's used by the devil to exploit the weak points of the Christian. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You'll notice the words, his own lust. That's why I mentioned the weak points of the Christian. The devil knows your tracks. The devil knows your attitudes and your way of life. He knows your strong points and your weaknesses. Mind you, the devil can take you on the point where you're strongest and whip you. The devil can find out your strongest point, and sometimes when you're indulging in a false sense of security, Satan can defeat you where you think you're strongest. He can hit you. He can hurt you where you think you're strongest. And quite frequently, the devil will find out the weakness of the Christian. And so I use the emphasis here on the words, his own lust, his own desires, his own base desires, his own weakness of being and soul. Why, temptation oftentimes will explore that avenue of his own lust and enticed. He's drawn away. Temptation can be a tool used by the devil to draw you away from the Lord. You see that? I'm emphasizing the scripture words. Temptation is used by the devil to draw you away from the Lord. To draw you away from the fellowship of God's people. To draw you away from the hour of prayer so that you can miss out with the Lord. Temptation's used by the devil. Oh, let no child of God say, because I have been tempted. Let no child of God say, because I have fallen, therefore I'll stay away from the prayer meeting. I'll stay away from the meeting place of God's people. I'll just stay away. That's what the devil wants you to do. He uses temptation to hinder you from fellowship, to hinder you from hearing the Word of God. You're drawn away. It's a tool used by the devil. Then, verse 15, when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished. Well, I would like to insert the words there, with you. When it is finished with you, bringeth forth death. You give in to the devil, and you say, well, what can I do about it? I'm tempted. I have no power to stand against the devil. Oh, of course you haven't. But you must ask the Lord for that power. You must cry to the Lord. Listen, get into your own room, close the door, get on your knees and cry to God, and don't rise from your knees until the Lord has given you the victory. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin, when it is finished with you, don't toy with sin. Child of God, don't you indulge that folly for one instant whereby you'll think, oh well, what can I do about it? I can only get into this state whereby I can give in to the devil or give in to the world in order to have peace. You'll not have peace that way. It's never right to surrender to temptation. You'll not get peace by surrendering to temptation. It seems that way, I know. But you'll find yourself worse off when you surrender to it. Sin when it is finished with you. You give in to it. Let the devil draw you away. You give in to it. Go ahead. But I'll tell you now on the authority of the Word of God that sin, when it is finished with you, will bring forth death. It'll be the end of you. It'll be the ruin of you. You can't play with sin. So verse 16, you see Christians are addressed then. Of course, the ungodly man's tempted. Sometimes I think the Christian may be more tempted than the ungodly man, because the devil has the worldly man already. Listen, if the devil's got a hold off you, he doesn't need to work on you. But if already you belong to the Lord, you're saved by grace, you're washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, you don't belong to the devil. You're against the devil. Oh, Satan must get busy on you. He must seek to make a prey of you. You're not in his power. You're not in his grip. He must make a special aim to get at you. So the Christian's more under attack than the sinner is. And verse 16 shows the Christian must take note of this counsel. The Christian must listen to these words. Do not err, my beloved brethren. You see, James speaks to those who are brethren in Christ, and he says, don't put a foot wrong in this matter. Don't play the fool. Don't give in to the devil. Temptation is the tool used by the devil to exploit the weakness of the believer. Don't give in to the devil. That's the message too in verse 12 of this chapter. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Oh, you don't enjoy it. You can't say it's a pleasure to my soul. No, no, it is not. Unless your experience would be a most extraordinary thing. No, it's not a matter to enjoy it. We don't enjoy the valley. We don't enjoy the affliction. We don't enjoy the hardship of the cross. But listen, if we endure it, God says you're going to be happy. You know that. Blessed is the man. You're going to be happy. Happy is the man who endureth temptation. He'll be blessed of the Lord in the enduring of that temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Don't you think it's worthwhile enduring that cross, no matter how unpleasant it is? Don't you think it's worthwhile, no matter how bitter the pill of affliction, to endure for a little season that you may win the crown which the Lord hath promised to them that love him? He never broke a promise yet. You've got to endure. Now God would lift you up today if you're in the battle. The Lord would lift you up and strengthen you. The Lord would encourage you. And he would say to you, endure. Fight the good fight. Stand against the devil. Hold on to the promise of God. For God's faithful. You'll endure. Oh, we don't surrender to the devil. Chapter 4 of the book of James and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Many a Christian reverses this. Many a Christian reverses this counsel. James 4 and 7, have you got it there in your Bible? Look at it so you'll see what I'm saying. Many a Christian reverses this counsel. And God is saying here, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil. What does a Christian do many a time through affliction? He begins to resist the Lord and submit to the devil. That's the folly of it. He begins to resist the Lord and submit to the devil. I've seen that many and many a time. Now I ought to say, first of all, there is that within you, believer, seeing you've got an old sinful heart there, there is that which is in you which can get hardened under affliction, and you can steel yourself against the Lord. Oh, the folly of sin. We can actually allow sin to turn the Lord, who is our loving Savior, into an enemy. We can permit sin so to twist our very thinking as to harden our hearts against the Lord. But God says here, submit, submit yourselves therefore to God. What are you to do with the devil? Don't give in to the devil. Don't give in to the devil. Don't be retreating. Don't be living in defeat. No, the verse says, resist. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. You see that? The very next words. Draw nigh to God. We have seen there a moment ago how temptations exploited by the devil to draw away the Christian, to get him to turn away from the Lord, to draw him away from the Lord. But the verse now says, draw nigh to God. Listen, child of God, if there ever was a time when you needed to pray, if there ever was a time when you needed to draw nigh to God, it's now. This is not the time for being drawn away from the Lord and resisting the Lord and giving in to the devil. No, this is a time to draw near to God. Submit yourselves to the Lord and resist the devil. Peter says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. No, that's the reference here in James. Peter says, we are to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Oh, the child of God is to adopt the spirit of the brave apprentice boys of Derry City who said, no surrender. That great Protestant watchword is biblical in spirit. No surrender. No surrender to the devil. No giving in to the enemy. Even though his forces are greater, even though our resources are small, the cry must be no surrender. Resist the devil. That's the message in God's Word. So we have seen what the Bible teaches about temptation. Temptation's common to man. It's a tool used by the devil to exploit the weakness of the Christian. But temptation must be endured on account of the faithfulness of God, who will watch over us and never leave us or forsake us. We are in the midst of that battle to resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, and the Lord will put him to flight. Hear that. The Lord will put him to flight. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Or as the margin says there in that verse, the Lord will put him to flight by lifting up the banner against him. Oh, there's victory for the child of God. How does Satan hinder the Christian? He hinders him by resisting him in prayer. Look at this reference in the book of Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. How does Satan hinder the Christian? Why, Satan will hinder him not only by means of temptation. Satan will hinder the Christian by resisting him in prayer. Satan will actually stand with you in the courts of the Lord's house. How many a time I have found that out. I'm sure your experience has been the same. Some of you are staying away from the prayer meeting because you have felt that resistance of the devil. I know some of you have even thought, well, there's no need for me to pray. There's no use in me praying. There's no use in me searching the Scriptures. I'm not enjoying my spiritual life. I'm not getting anything out of God's Word that I ought to get out of it. I can't pray. I find it so hard to pray. Are you giving in to the devil? The Lord Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. The reason he said that, simply because he recognized that oftentimes there would be hardness in the place of prayer. Oftentimes the pathway of prayer would be an uphill path. Satan stands at Joshua's right hand to resist him. The right hand is the place of strength. And there at his right hand is the adversary. The adversary can take on Joshua in his strongest area. As we pointed out a moment ago, the devil doesn't only work on your weak points, he can even take you sometimes where you're strongest. And at his right hand, Satan stands to resist him. Even though he's coming into the presence of God, oh, the devil will try to hinder you from prayer. The devil doesn't want you to pray. He knows that in praying, you'll draw nigh to God, as we saw in James. And if it is right in the midst of the battle, in the midst of temptation and Satan's operation against our soul, if it's right to draw nigh unto God, I tell you, Satan will be there to resist. But the book that says, draw nigh to God, also says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And when you draw nigh to the Lord, even though the devil's there and there may be hardness for a time, stay on your knees until the cloud breaks with the blessing of God in your soul. There's victory for the Christian. And you'll see that even here, although Satan was resisting, Joshua stands in the presence of God until the Lord speaks in his favor, until the Lord defeats the adversary. Oh, sometimes it'll be hard to pray. Sometimes you'll find that the sky is like brass above your head. But believers, stay there on your knees and cry to the Lord. Tell the Lord it's hard to pray when it is. Tell the Lord that your soul seems so dry and afflicted, that your spirit seems so dead. Be honest with God. Cry to the Lord there on your knees. Stay with the Word of God and stay on your knees. And seek the protection of the precious blood of Christ. Oh, believer, you see, that's why we often find it hard. We don't pray on redemption ground. We just pray on the strength of knowing that we belong to the Lord. We just pray on the strength of our own Christian experience. And we pray as Christians. And we don't pray on redemption ground. Get to the cross. Stand there under the shadow of the tree. Plead the precious blood of Christ. On redemption ground, there's victory. Redemption ground is praying ground, and praying ground is victory ground. Learn to plead the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And God gives victory over the devil and all his work thereby. There's victory, child of God, even for you. Blessed is the man who endureth. Praise the Lord, there's a blessing for you. You came into the meeting today, you didn't even think there was a blessing. But God encourages you by his word, by showing that there's a blessing for you, even by way of temptation. Let's bow in prayer. Loving Father, take thine own precious word now and write it upon our hearts. Use thy word today for the glory of the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May Christ be seen in us and be glorified in us, so that in that great day of accounting, the Lamb will have all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.